News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson is here on this Saturday talking on the radio about El Paso history. And we have a co-host, guest host this morning, J.R. Calamia. Good morning.
Hello there, Jackson. Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land.
Welcome here, dude.
Thank you.
You're an archaeology kind of guy, so that's why I thought it'd be a good idea to have you in here, because today that's going to be our subject. We'll get to that in a second. We need to tell people where to find us, because we're here on KTSM AM 690. Always about El Paso history on a Saturday morning. And also, we always say Texas history begins in El Paso because, frankly, it does. And so we challenge the people on the East Coast of Texas, the eastern areas, to come challenge us. I've had one challenge, but then we clarified what I meant, and then he was wrong. So, therefore, Texas history begins in El Paso. They can find us live on the Internet. Where do they find us doing that there, JR?
That's right, Jackson. You can go to ktsmradio.com and click on the iHeartRadio link. And they can listen live all over the planet if they want to.
How about that? And they do. Actually, we have listeners in California do occasionally call us up. And trivia today, right? What do we got?
Yes, sir. Actually, both hours of this program, we're going to have a trivia. And the first caller with the correct trivia answer will have the option today of either a $20 food coupon from Pepe's Mexican Restaurant in Cañetillo or an El Paso Gold DVD. Some of these DVDs, I'll just give you a couple names real quick. The Ghost Stories of El Paso, Lecture Series, Celebration of Cultures, The McGoffin Home, Gunfighters of the Old West, and so on and so forth.
We great. Got those available today.
And the second caller will, of course, get a choice of the second prize.
So you pick one if you win. And we got some good questions today that are fairly simple, because we're going to focus today on archaeology, and also we're going to focus today on the Archaeology Museum in the first hour. Second hour, we're going to focus on the society called the El Paso Archaeological Society. But we are privileged this morning to welcome to the microphone this morning on the El Paso Radio Show, Jeff Romney. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be with you both.
Good Thank morning,
you.
Jeff.
Welcome here, dude. You are the director. Is that the right title?
Yes, sir. Director of the El Paso Museum of Archaeology.
Now, that's a unique museum all by itself, is it not?
It is. We feature 12,000 years of prehistory here in the El Paso area, and we also have our Wilderness Park component with nature trails outdoors.
17 acres of trails out there, but you share a little bit of it with the Border Patrol.
Yes. Originally, it was 17 acres, two of which were given to the National Border Patrol Museum, which they're currently using, so our acreage is currently 15.
So you have the outdoor – in fact, originally that museum was called the Wilderness Park Museum.
That is correct, Wilderness Park Museum.
And it was a wilderness, and the whole mountain was an exhibit.
Beautiful area in the Chihuahua Desert. You can't get a better view of the mountains, in my opinion.
That's a perfect exhibit out there. And the thing was, you just couldn't go past that 17 acres, because beyond that, it was still Casner Range.
That's correct.
And it is today, Casner Range.
It's still that today.
So we got to be careful about it. JR, did you ever shoot anything out at Casner Range?
No, and I didn't get hit by a bomb or anything either. So, I stay away from Casner Range if I can.
You know what? Don't go out there without authorization, which you're not going to get. But the thing is, Casner Range, at one point, they still had the wires in the ground going from that area. That was a Vietnam village back in the day. They'd have pop-up targets. And they'd fire up against the mountain, and there was nobody around. And so that is how that the general area where the museum is located, that was its history, as I understand it.
Yes. Yeah.
And we figured out a mayor came along and convinced the army to let the acreage go?
Yeah, and currently the perimeter of our facility actually has signage asking people not to go beyond the signage because it used to be an artillery range. In fact, the army is going to be putting up some type of fence around the perimeter of the property soon to help keep people from going further than they should.
There goes the view, huh?
Well, no, I don't think it's that type of fence.
Oh, good.
It's just, it's not a big barricade. It's just some type of indicator that you shouldn't go further than that for your own safety.
Well, that's basically the case. You really don't want to be people. Okay, but so Jeff Romney's here, the director of the Museum of Archaeology. I think we're blessed to have that because are there other cities that you're aware of that have a museum like this? Specifically archaeology?
There's the Ameren Foundation right outside of near Benson, I think.
Okay.
And that's where the collections that were dug up from Pakime by Dr. DePacer housed.
Which is why you know about it. We got to talk to you about your Pakime history. Yeah. But the point is there's not that many museums dedicated just to the archaeology of a region anywhere in the country.
There's the Maxwell up in Albuquerque that's an archaeological anthropology museum.
Generally speaking, you don't find them everywhere.
But you don't find them everywhere. We're definitely a gem in the desert here.
Oh, yes. And tell us about the gem in the desert. What is there to know about this museum? You got what facilities?
Well, basically, we're housed in a 12,000-square-foot building, which is the Museum of Archaeology. And about 4,800 square feet is dedicated to gallery space. We have a collection of around 4,500 objects, of which around 600 are on display at any given time. We have a rigorous exhibition schedule dealing mostly with our permanent collection. Currently, we have Pakime and the Casas Grandes culture on view. Most of our collection is Casas Grandes pottery, at least a huge chunk of it is. In fact, it's one of the largest collections in the Southwest of Casas Grandes pottery.
What is Casas Grandes?
Casas Grandes, also known as Pakime, is a archaeological site in northwestern Chihuahua, Mexico, which at its height was inhabited around AD 1200 through 1450.
That short a time period?
Yeah.
That was it?
Well, the Casas Grandes culture is older than that, but the heyday, as it were, was AD 1200 to about 1450.
That's a fancy international site now, isn't it?
It is. It's the UNESCO World Heritage Site, actually.
That's what I was trying to say. Uh-huh. But I figured you'd know the details. But no, it's a fabulous area. I've been through it once, and it's amazing to see how big it was. There's quite a bit of houses out in there.
It was the largest city in northern Mexico at the time and one of the biggest centers in the entire Southwest.
Now, is it true that they were also trading goods and stuff with like Chaco Canyon up in New Mexico? I understand they were trading some things.
Well,
possibly.
Chaco, the height of culture, the height of the Chaco culture had already come to an end by that point, but there were people living in the area still, certainly. And there was trade going on. Pottery, macaws, possibly copper bells.
That's what I remember hearing.
And turquoise was flowing south to Casas Grandes.
Well, the point being here is that El Paso is situated in of course, southern New Mexico and northern Chihuahua, is situated in an area that had a lot of ancient people.
There was a lot of people in this area, especially during that same time period.
Isn't it amazing to realize? I mean, you go to the Keystone Heritage Park, right?
Yeah.
That was an ancient village at one point, like at least 4,000 years old, some say 5,000. And when they ran into it, it was sort of an accident. Do you know the story of that thing?
I don't think I do know.
The Corps of Engineers was needing to put a dam in there because Upper Valley houses were getting flooded all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the Army being what it is, they like to dam water up. So they came, okay, we're going to put a dam right down Donovan Drive. It's going to be wonderful. And as they were building the dam coming south, looking what's ahead of them, huge rainstorm took out an arroyo side, and in the side of the arroyo that was recently exposed by the rain, there were remnants of pit houses.
Sure.
And so people said, what the heck is that? So they called folks at Texas Western College. By then, I think it was UTEP. And so they came over and looked at that and said, sure enough, that's a bunch of old stuff here. So they made it into an archaeological site, and the Army Corps of Engineers then had to put the dam around that site.
To save it.
They hate doing anything but straight lines, those Army people. But there's a jog in that dam for that reason, and that's what Keystone Heritage Park is. So you're talking about archaeology in the El Paso area. A lot of it, the museum, as I remember, is about Waco tanks. That's a big thing at the Museum of Archaeology. You have dioramas of that stuff in there as well, right?
That's correct. We do have some of the pictographs and the petroglyphs that are featured in art on our walls there at the museum.
Go around the museum. What's in it? You walk in, what happens? People need to go there, by the way.
Yeah. Basically, just come in our front doors. We have our entry lobby, which basically talks about what archaeologists do in general, how we get our dates, and a little bit about local archaeological sites. There are some hands-on activities that kids can do, some drawers they can pull open and see different artifacts. Then you go into our South Gallery, which has some beautiful dioramas, which talk about it's a quick overview of about 12,000 years of prehistory here in the area. It starts with, of course, the Paleo-Indian hunters, which were the mammoth hunters, if you will.
And tell us about your mammoth.
It's a beautiful mammoth. It was constructed by, I believe, the EPAS members back in 1976.
El Paso Archaeological Society.
Yes, EPAS. Yes, sir. They did a great job in putting in those dioramas when the museum was first opened.
This thing's huge. It almost doesn't fit in there.
Yep.
And they said, well, good thing you didn't put an adult mammoth in there. It would have gone out the roof by about 12, 15 feet. That thing's,
yeah, and
this is a baby mammoth they got there.
Sometimes we have to explain to the kids that the mammoth isn't real because they get concerned because there's some spears in the mammoth.
And they're sticking him with the, you know, the guys are catching him and
right.
killing him so they can eat him.
Right.
And whatever they make houses out of, his hide or whatever. So, but the thing is, as you go around the room in there, you've got some Pueblos in there?
Well, after that, we go into the archaic period, the hunters and gatherers period. Then we move into the pit house phase. We have a model of a pit house. And we go into the Pueblo time period with a mock-up of what is known as Cueva de la Olla in Chihuahua, Mexico, which is a cliff dweller site, which is part of the Casas Grandes culture, AD 1200-1450 time period. Then after we also talk about some of the cultures the Spanish encountered when they came into the area, the Suma Manso and also the Piru and others.
The Apaches
the
are
Apaches,
in there. Yeah.
Yes, sir, the Apaches. Yeah. That's our South Gallery. Then you go to our North Gallery, and that's where we have most of our collections on display. You can see pottery from our region, from the Jornada Mogollon region is what we call it. There's a lot on Casas Grandes. We also have some Membres pottery, some other Mogollon Indian-type pottery. We have some modern Pueblo pottery, and then we do have a limited collection of Mesoamerican artifacts and items from the west coast of Mexico.
Explain Mogollon.
Mogollon is a term given to people who lived kind of in the mountains and in this part of the southwest along what is known as the Mogollon Rim. It's a little bit further south of what is known as the Anasazi region. People have probably heard more of the Anasazi.
You're talking New Mexico, Arizona here, right?
Yes.
Mostly and, New Mexico.
Yes. We're also in the Mogollon region here. We're,
okay.
we're at the far west, far eastern fringe of the Mogollon region.
M-O-G-O-L-L-O-N.
Yes, correct.
And pronunciation in Spanish is Mogollon.
Some say Mogollon and some say Mogollon.
Wasn't there a town of Mogollon up in New Mexico that was a mining town at one point?
Yes.
How did they pronounce it? Like whiskey? I don't know. Let's go and get some whiskey.
Let's go get some Mogollon whiskey.
But no, I mean, the miners came in and did all kinds of strange things.
Northern Mexico is part of the Mogollon region as well.
Northern Mexico.
Yes, Chihuahua.
Okay, so is it kind of like a Chihuahuan desert overlay as well? Not quite?
Kind of. Yeah, to some degree, you could say that.
Now explain the Chihuahuan desert to people.
Well, we live in the Chihuahuan desert. It's more of a higher elevation desert. We get more rainfall, perhaps, than the Sonoran desert.
Which is one toward Arizona.
That's towards Arizona to our west and also the state of Sonora.
We have the poppies, though.
Yes, and you can come out to the museum and see over 200 native plant species. And if you're lucky, you can see some of the wildlife. In fact, we had a rattlesnake right outside our front door yesterday.
And all we do is ask them to leave. We don't go shooting them or
anything. That's correct. We just gently pick them up with our snake holders, and we just move them to another side of the property where they're not going to be in people's way. And,
do not pet them.
Do not pet them.
No. But also, this happens in anywhere. I mean, Waco Tanks has the snakes were there first.
Yeah, in fact, we see more snakes this time of year than any time of year for some reason. We can't figure it out, but they're out and about. I guess they're getting ready last hunting session before they go into hibernation.
Go find a place to hang out for the winter.
Yep.
But also, we talked about the poppies briefly. That's usually a spring event, right?
It is a spring event. Last year, our poppies showed up in mid-February, and they were pretty much done by the second week of April.
So they have a poppy festival out there every year, JR.
Right.
And the idea is to pick when the poppies are going to peak. And you have to pick that like back in November or somewhere to get all your publications in order, right?
That's correct. We're looking at dates for this coming year. We don't have it nailed down yet, but it will be sometime between the last 2 weeks of March and the first week of April.
Now, also, there's a question of what causes the poppies on a given year to be bigger than another year. And no one's figured that out yet, right?
No, but we have a hunch that it has to do with how much rain falls in late December, early January, and probably something to do with temperature as well. They have to have some type of incubation period, I think.
I think those would be the factors involved because you've already got the seed, you've already got the dirt. What's left? Temperature, water.
About now is the time to start putting the seed out. In fact, we just got a new batch of seed in. If you'd like to come out and buy some at the museum store.
Poppy seeds, the poppy seeds.
Yes, we have poppy seeds at the store.
They used to grow in that area that's now Loop 375 dug out right there in the middle of northeast El Paso. They would grow up. You see them, JR?
I have. It's a beautiful carpet of yellow gold, and it's really something
it's
to see when they're all in bloom.
If we could just figure out when it is. Now, I got in real trouble for this one. I said, well, you got the fire trucks where you got to dump the water every 6 months. Why don't you go out there and just spray a couple of corners once in a while and figure out which ones work? And I got, well, that's not nature. Well, it could be. I'm nature, whatever. But to the point of the poppies, that's a great thing to have out there. Springtime is when they generally have
Isn't
that.
Isn't there some federal law against growing poppies?
I don't know. Depends on what. If you're just going to look at them.
Oh, okay.
I think you'll be okay.
All right.
We got to take a break here. Jeff Romney's in the house. That other voice is J.R. Calamia in for Melissa today. And she'll be back next week. But the thing is, J.R. was a member of EPAS back in the 1960s. So we're going to pick his brain at some point about what happened then. Because you were a member prior to this museum.
I was, yes.
Where was this events held?
Well, when the El Paso Archaeological Society, when I was in it in the early 60s, all of the events were held at the El Paso Centennial Museum at UTEP.
Okay.
And, we saw slide movies and things of that nature. We also built panoramas of sites that we excavated in the immediate area here back in the 60s.
You did excavation?
Yes, we did excavation.
Oh, my God. Jeff, they're not doing any more excavations. The city's not excavating anything right now, are they?
The city is not. EPAS still goes out and participates in official excavations with other groups periodically.
Has the city ever done that kind of thing? I mean, I don't think it has.
I'm not aware that they have. I know Fort Bliss does. The archaeologists at Fort Bliss do it, and EPAS does it occasionally.
Well, they've got a full staff out at Fort Bliss.
That's
because
correct.
When they're going to go take over another piece of desert, they send those guys out first and say, this is what the tanks right. will be rolling over.
The museum itself, to my knowledge, has never spearheaded or conducted the actual excavation. That's not to say that we haven't participated or had staff members go on a field school or something.
Well, it's been a close relationship between EPAS and that museum since day one, obviously, because EPAS is headquartered there.
Yes.
And when Fred Hervey, it was Hervey, we think, the mayor.
Yes.
Built, he paid to build that building.
That's my understanding,
right,
yes.
We'll get to some of those details in a minute because that's amazing stuff here. All right, J.R., we got to take a break here. Shall we do some trivia? This is your cue, dude.
All right, here it goes. Here's the first trivia question. Question, name the flower that blooms around the Archaeology Museum in the spring, sometimes covering the desert.
Duh, we're trying to give this stuff away, aren't we? I mean, if you're listening or if you know
Hello.
Anything. If you know any, but then there's another question.
Yes, there is. The second question is, there are two museums on the Trans Mountain Road in northeast El Paso. Name them both.
Oh, I could do this. Aww. You got to call a phone number to get in here and get, and you get the Pepe's you mentioned. One of these DVDs. I'm going to push the transportation DVD today. It's a short little video, but it's the only time you'll ever see a train from the 1890s going down I-10 at 60 miles an hour. It's in the video. I chased that train when they moved it from the Centennial Museum over to get it refurbished and then back downtown into what's now the El Paso Visitor Center. So that's on that video. They got to call us to make this occur. J.R. Calamia, what is the number?
All right. You need to call 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The Tom Russell song, Tonight We Ride, begins with Pancho Villa's famous ride into Columbus, New Mexico. Our ride isn't quite so famous, but it's a whole lot more fun. This weekend, the Harley Owners Group, better known as the Hogs, will meet at I-10 and Loop 375, then travel down Route 9 all the way to Columbus, New Mexico. For those who want to, and have their passports, they can park their bikes on the American side and cross over to Palomas, Mexico, and feast on truly authentic Mexican food. When you're in Palomas, not only will you feel cooler because you're at an elevation of 4,100 feet, you'll be cooler because you're riding a Harley. Heading back home through the pecan orchards, you can marvel at the fact that the Plain Jane pecans are the number one commercial food crop in the state. As always, the adventure begins at Barnett Harley-Davidson or when you click on BarnettHarley.com, because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text LIKE to 42424 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text LIKE to 42424. That's L-I-K-E to 42424.
iHeartRadio. All your favorite music. All your favorite stations. All free. And now, with football season in full swing, let's be honest. Most of your week is focused on your fantasy team or teams. No reason to leave the iHeartRadio app, because now we have the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. 24-7 interactive fantasy talk and advice so you can dominate your league. Get your fantasy football fix right on the app. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. iHeartRadio.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I got to talk about Harvey Girls. We got three people on the phone. Oh, one dropped off. Is a line open, 544-5876. Going to tell you about the Harvey Girls. Harvey Girls are going to be in town on Monday. Actually, they're in town all the time. But this is talking about the Harvey Girls. And October 9th, Union Passenger Station Depot, 700 West San Francisco, 2 to 4 p.m. The program is Hobo Codes of Railroad Travel. Now, JR, you never did that, did you?
I never did.
Okay, no. Right. I actually knew family members who did that in the 30s. That's how they got across the country.
That was before my time.
Although, of course, it would
believe
be.
It or not.
Anyway, Patricia Kidney is going to give that talk on the Harvey Girls. All railroad history buffs are welcome. Call her up, 591-2326. And the Southwest Chapter of Railroad Locomotive and Historical Society, meeting Wednesday, October the 11th, St. Timothy's Lutheran Church. They're doing it again. There are more railroad people showing up. The program is Rock Island Line coming into El Paso. And that's by Steve Heatland doing that one. Cost is $10. You get deal. Oh, you get food. And you get to hear this thing. RSVP 540-9660. One more, and then JR, it'd be your turn in a second here.
All right.
Should I just cue you when you're ready, when I'm ready?
You cue me in.
But not yet. Okay. El Paso Genealogical Society meeting Thursday, October the 12th. All Saints Episcopal Church, 3500 McRae. 7 p.m. The program is Unraveling the Mystery of Old Photos. And that's Patricia Kidney, 591-2326. Now is your turn to talk.
All right. Let's talk about the Daughters of the Republic of Texas, El Paso Rio Grande Chapter. And they'll meet on Friday, October the 13th, at the War Eagles Museum, located at 8012 Airport Road in Santa Teresa, New Mexico, at 10 a.m. And visitors interested in Texas history are all welcome. And if you want more information on that, call 915-570-5770. And let's not forget the El Paso Corral and Westerners International number 26. They meet on Friday, October the 20th in the Country Inn and Suites at 99 Sunland Park Drive, 6 to 9 p.m. Their program, Historic Isleta, Peoples and Places, presented by Joseph Longo. Program and meal cost $20. Visitors are welcome, but you must RSVP to 915-759-9538 by Monday, October the 16th. And let's do one more here, the Club Friendship. They'll meet on Tuesday, October the 24th, 2017. I think that's this year, yeah.
It's coming up.
Okay. at St. Paul's Methodist Church, located at 7000 Edgemere, 1130 a.m., and their program, Lady Flow, El Paso's Royalty, presented by Patricia Wickham. Program and meal cost is only $10. RSVP to 591-2326.
Lady Flow was not one of the shady people. She was a businesswoman.
Oh.
She was a black woman married to a white guy, and they had to live in wars because of that.
And she's married in she's buried in Concordia, is she not?
And she has somebody now doing her that's almost perfect.
Oh,
so that's
great.
What that's about. All right, Jeff Romney's in the house. We got trivia people on hold. Jeff, what is the prize for today we ask the guests to declare the Oñate special. Some special on that list turns into a $6 event. What today?
Today's special is green chili cheese enchiladas.
Yes, those are excellent. And Shelley, our call screener, puts the hotter stuff on top of that. That's it, Pepe, 6761 Donovan Drive, one of our famous sponsors there. And we shall now do trivia. What was that first question?
Okay, the first question was, name the flower that blossoms around the Archaeology Museum in the spring, sometimes covering the entire desert area.
It does that. And I got Carl on the phone. Carl, you'll be on the radio. What's up?
Yeah, I think it's poppies.
Popeyes poppies, indeed.
Popeyes poppies.
Is that what came out of that spinach can?
Yeah,
sometime?
I don't know.
That's why poppy was so strong.
Poppies.
Anyway, now, you had to know that one already, didn't you, Carl? Carl, you already knew that one, right?
Oh, I think I did.
Most people do know that one. Well, thanks for ringing up. You got yourself a choice of DVDs or Pepe's $20. If you're going to get a DVD, I'm going to push El Paso's transportation history, watching a train going down I-10 at 60 miles an hour. It was on a flatbed truck, but that's the way they go. You had you wondering, huh?
I did.
Anyway, there's other videos here, so what's your pleasure there, Carl?
I'm going to try that Pepe's place out.
$20 at Pepe's for Carl on line one. Shelly, here he comes. Thanks for playing, sir. Hold on. Shelly will tell you I picked that up, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you kindly. Got Mike on the phone and Steven on the phone. Let's go to Mike. Mike, we got one more question. What was that other question there, JR?
Okay, there are two museums on Trans Mountain Road in northeast El Paso. Please name them both.
This is really hard.
I know
that?
That's pretty hard.
What do you got, Mike?
Yes. Let me see, you got the one you guys were talking about, the archaeological?
Yes, there's one out of two. Yeah, one out of two.
And I believe the other one's the Border Patrol Museum.
Yes, you got that one right.
All right.
You see, the studio audience is now perking up to this.
Yeah.
Indeed, we do have that, sir, and you're going to get yourself a choice of DVDs. I'm pushing transportation, but we've got the Women's Club. We've got a Ghost. The Ghost 4, is it Ghost 4 you've got there? What is that one?
Yes, the Ghost Store. Well, I have volume 2, and I think I saw, and volume 4 as well.
4 is the one where we toured the smelter at night with a psychic. It was a little bizarre. And you could take or leave what we found out, but it might actually make you think about your spirit a little more, which is why we're doing this. So there's an idea. You want one of those?
Sure. I'll go transportation.
Transportation Museum. Definitely available here. All right, Shelley, we got that all figured out. And thanks for playing. Hold on there, Mike. She'll come on and tell you how to pick that up, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Hold on there. Got another caller named Esteban. Good morning. Got you on the radio, dude. What's up?
Well, I was reading the Fort Bliss newspaper. I can't remember the name of the newspaper.
Monitor.
Monitor. And there's a chaplain who has an article every time it comes out. And the latest article was about a trip he had made to the top of Trans Mountain Road. And while he was reflecting on the beauty of the scenery, he saw a mountain goat.
Yes.
And I've heard a story of a goat up in that area before, but some people say it's a domestic goat gone wild.
Maybe.
Can you give me some history on that?
Jeff, you got some. Jeff Romney's in the house. He's the director of that museum. Jeff, what do you got on that?
Well, you know, we actually saw one of those goats near the museum last month, in fact, and we were a little puzzled by it ourselves. I didn't think we had native mountain sheep here anymore. But so I asked Mr. Alex Mares, who works for the park systems, and he basically told me the same thing that you just said, that it is it's a non-native species, kind of a domesticated variety that has gone wild. I forget the name of it at this time, but that's what you're seeing. We've seen him cross the road there by the museum, too.
What does it look like?
Big goat, little goat?
Well, I saw it from a distance. I believe it was a female, the one I saw, and it looks very similar to the bighorn sheep, female, but it's a little bit different at the same time. That's why I was puzzled and not sure what I was seeing, but it was not a deer either. So
let me throw some history on that for you. There used to be a place called El Chavarria, Goat Town, which was roughly at Alabama Street in Memphis, where that big church is now. And they had a lot of people up there raising goats. And so they took them up on the mountain. And at the time, the mountain was more grass-covered. So the goats would graze all over the Franklin Mountains. And it's easily understandable that some got away. Now, the other thing is, when they built the FAA towers, which is South Mount Franklin, on the south side of Trans Mountain Road, the guy who went up there first, he actually did a hike and took a rope. And then after that, they started pulling stuff up, then they put the cable in, then they finally had a cable car. But the first guys up there encountered huge nests of rattlesnakes and goats, and they had to dynamite the top of it. So he didn't really know what to do with the rattlesnakes, but they were shooing the goats off the top of South Mount Franklin, and that had to be in this late 50s, early 60s. So there's some history for you that a lot of people don't know, but there have always been goats on the Franklins since the early 1900s. How about that for a story?
Wow, that'd make a great DVD.
Yeah, well, that one's not quite on a DVD yet. However, the tramway ride is. I took that tramway ride. That's in Legends of El Paso's Mountains. Well, thanks for asking.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. You take care. A lot going on the mountains here. And Jeff Romney, you may not know this. I grew up in El Paso, and the mountains were my playground when I was a kid. And mostly over by the A in that area, we found plane crashes. Mm. We found Spanish mine shafts. We found stuff that's not supposed to be there,
right.
So we're not going to announce that on the radio. So, but nothing valuable. I still have my
don't,
wife.
Don't give away the GPS coordinates.
No way. But there's a lot to the history of the Franklin Mountains. All right, and we need to take one more break. Sergio, is that correct? But first of all, how about we thank the people in the control room? Shelley Sutherland on the phones, clinking away, talking to people. And the guy who does all of the electrons, he has a special name. JR, you know what that name is? Sergio Valenzuela.
Sergio Valenzuela.
Now you get it. He's supposed to do it with me.
I'm sorry. Let's try that one more time.
One, two, three.
Sergio Valenzuela.
It's like he scored a goal, and he normally does. Well, thanks for playing along, everyone. We'll be back after this message now.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution Sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
Hi, this is Amy Keith with FlipCheapHouses.com. Our company specializes in teaching beginners how to invest in real estate with little to no financial risk. Are you determined to succeed and have at least $10,000 for startup fees and want to work one-on-one with a professional real estate investor for 12 months? Are you motivated and have at least $10,000 for startup fees and want to start a business now? With our help, in as little as 2 weeks, you can start putting deals together flipping cheap houses. Are you ambitious and have at least $10,000 for startup fees and want to get a side business started for additional income? If you can give us 10 hours a week, we can show you how to flip cheap houses. If you are a beginner and want to learn how to flip cheap houses, then help me help you. Go to our website at help2017.com and watch our free webinar. That's help2017.com to watch our free webinar. help2017.com.
If you're over 50, listen carefully. Do you have trouble remembering names, where you put your keys, or where you parked your car? Even simple facts that you should remember but just can't? By age 50, the average person has lost half of their short-term memory, and it only gets worse. Don't ignore the warning signs of age-related memory loss. Now you can think faster and remember more with Sebrea, the best-selling non-prescription memory formula supported by 20 years of memory research. A scientific study shows that Sebrea can improve your memory in just 30 days. Just call 1-800-990-7211 to get started. All callers today receive a free 30-day supply of Sebrea, so you can start improving your short-term memory right away. Get your free bottle of Sebrea. Call 1-800-990-7211 or order online at freememoryoffer.com. One free month per household. Don't wait. Call 1-800-990-7211 or go to freememoryoffer.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
The El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pole.
Got to tell you about Concordia Cemetery. We're going to have them in here next week with all the details. But anyway, they're going to have a walkthrough history on Saturday, October 21st, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And you have storytellers out there. The Six Guns and Shady Ladies are always prominent. They do the gunfights out there. They have hay rides, the Cerna Farm, the Avila Farms. The people come out. It's actually the most fun you'll ever have in a cemetery when you think about it. That's kind of like unusual. But you can get some information at 591-2326 or go to ConcordiaCemetery.org. And, JR, they also have another event. The Day de los Muertos.
Yes, they do. Concordia Cemetery is going to celebrate Día de los Muertos at the cemetery on Saturday. That'll be October the 28th at between 2 and 8 p.m. It's only a one-day event, so if you can get out there, please get out there. They're going to have everything, calaveras, skulls. They're going to have mojiganga. I knew I could probably.
Is that a clean word?
I don't know. I've never seen that
word. Just don't put that one on the radio.
Mojiganga
anyway.
Skeletons.
Okay,
I guess they're giants.
You went and did it again.
Big
10-foot skeletons.
Oh, that's the big thing.
Yeah,
oh, okay, Jeff knows what that means.
Yeah, there you
dancer.
Go. Aztec dancers and the whole thing. Matechines, mariachis, you name it, they'll have it.
Oh, no, don't let me name it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now the cost is only $5 for adults. There will be discounts for military and students and seniors over 60. Hey, that's me. And for more information, you can call 915-497-1126 or 915-593-8906.
For a good time in the cemetery. Oh, God, I shouldn't say that. Jeff Romney is here, director of the Museum of Archaeology. And you know, they get thousands of people for that thing at Concordia?
I believe it.
Oh, my goodness, they really do. And Museum of Archaeology being what it is, I still say we're lucky in El Paso to have this museum.
Absolutely.
Not that many people have them. You named a couple that do, but you're in the business. You should know that.
Yes.
Mostly, in general, you don't have a separate archaeology museum anywhere.
We are very fortunate and blessed, definitely.
And this is Archaeology Month. What are you doing about it?
Yes. During the month of October in Texas, we celebrate Texas Archaeology Month, and we have a number of activities for this. Today we have a booth actually at Chalk the Block where we have activities for kids. That's part of our Texas Archaeology Month activity.
And good weather happening for that downtown.
It's a beautiful day. Go downtown, see Chalk the Block, stop by, visit our booth there, and you'll get to paint some pictures and other things. Next weekend on the 13th and 14th of October, we are hosting the 20th Biennial Jornada Mogollón Archaeological Conference.
This is a biggie.
It's a big deal. It happens every 2 years, and we have 28 presenters this year, which will be talking about recent research here in our area and also in northern Mexico, and I'm happy to announce that for the first time, or probably one of the first times ever, we have students coming from the university in Chihuahua City to also participate, and they'll be telling us about their research in the Casas Grandes area, so that's great. On October 12th, 1977, the El Paso Archaeology Museum opened its doors to the public. So next weekend, we will be celebrating our 40th anniversary. We have a wonderful family day scheduled for Sunday, October 15th from 12 to 4. You're all welcome to come out and join us. Admission is free. Free parking is available next door at the National Border Patrol Museum. We're going to be having food truck vendors.
Oh, you take your parking lot over for the party.
Yes.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes, our parking lot will be closed for the party. We do have some limited parking space for people with handicap parking, but public parking is next door at the Border Patrol Museum. We're going to have folk dancers, tigua dancers, archery, booths.
Adel-adel.
We're going to have films.
Have you ever done an adel-adel?
I have. I'm not very good at it, though.
Somebody tells me if you're good at it, you can put that dart right through a car.
Right through a car door if you're really good at it. That's goodness. True.
Yeah, JR, can you do that?
I have an adel-adel, but I don't think I can put a dart through a car door.
Just take his darts away. but your events go on for the whole month.
Yeah, so come out next Sunday. And if you can't make it next Sunday, then on Saturday the 21st, we're celebrating International Archaeology Day with an event sponsored by the Council of Texas Archaeologists. They gave us a grant to do this. And we will be having a live pottery firing demonstration outdoors.
Oh.
Bill Luther from EPAS will be showing us how to fire pottery the old-fashioned way.
With a fire in the ground.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. That's going to be a great experience. And we will have adel-adel and archery again that day. We'll have mock excavations and a whole range of activities. And then finally, at the end of the month, on Saturday, the 29th of October, and this is also part of Tom Lee Month here in El Paso, we will have a Tom Lee-inspired day of activities, including some painting, some films, and I will be giving a lecture presentation on Casas Grandes pottery at 1 o'clock, and that will go hand-in-hand with our exhibition, Casas Grandes Pottery and Painted Watercolors from the Tom Lee Collection, which is currently up, and it will run through the end of October.
He did some detailed paintings of those things. I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, they're beautiful, actually. He did a number of watercolors. His father collected the pottery in the 1920s.
And then Tom drew it when he got a chance.
Yes. Around 1928, Tom did document those and paint watercolors of some of the collection, and we have actual pieces of pottery from that collection and their corresponding watercolors on display.
The actual pieces and then the drawings,
yes,
of them.
Yeah, we have 10. Oh. We have 10 pots from his collection, Casas Grandes Medio Period, 1280 through 1400.
And who has those in their collection?
That's James Lee collection, Thompson.
Oh, okay. So he actually still has all that stuff.
Yes.
And excellent.
He let us borrow 10 pieces, and then we have 12 watercolors on display.
The Tom Lee Institute is doing a great job pushing El Paso history out there through Tom Lee.
This is a great collaboration.
Because he touched almost everything in El Paso history at one point.
Yeah.
He really did.
I was very happy when the Tom Lee Institute approached me a few months ago to see if we would collaborate, and we were very happy to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're working downtown in the Tom Lee exhibit at the history at the Art Museum.
That's
true. There's a lot to do with Tom Lee Month. And so move on to what else in archaeology, because Texas Archaeology Month is just full across the state, I take it.
It's all over the state. I'm not exactly sure who all is participating. You can look at it online. There's a full listing of events.
Well, TomLee.net, I believe.
Oh, for Tom Lee Month.
For them, you can see everything they're doing. Or I believe TomLee.com as well.
Yes, I misunderstood. I thought you meant Texas Archaeology Month.
Well, just whoever, but also they have got stuff across Texas and other places.
Yes, sir,
and
that's
up
true.
In New Mexico.
Yeah,
Tom was everywhere. All right, what does your museum have going on else?
We are in the planning stages. We are about to open up two new exhibits in November. You had mentioned the Harvey House and the Harvey Girls,
and the railroad people.
The railroad people. Mr. Fred Harvey was an innovative restaurateur and marketer who not only created the first restaurant chain in the United States, but he was also very instrumental in promoting tourism in the American Southwest in the late 19th century up until around 1920. He took groups and, traveling people and visited Native communities and helped really inspire the Native American pottery tradition of the railroad era, where they would make pottery specifically for the tourist trade. So,
well, they did it with the Grand Canyon Rim, I believe, in Hopi House.
Yes. And so we're going to be featuring an exhibit of Isleta Pueblo, the northern Isleta Pueblo pottery. And this is coming from the collection of Mr. Albert Alvidres, who is a member of the Tigua community here in El Paso.
He was the governor at one point.
He was the governor at one point. And he will be co-curating this exhibit, so we're very happy to be working with him on this.
He does pottery now, you know that.
He's a great potter, yes.
I mean, he's been drawing those little tiny lines for a long time. I'd drive my eyes cross-eyed. Taking a break here, we got to do that. Jeff Romney's in the house. It is the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. You're the director. And I'm glad to see you're doing this, because you have a great interest in area archaeology. It's obvious to me.
Yeah, I'm completely fascinated by
it. Isn't it something? And you focus a lot on the Pakame era and Pakame things, but that's because that was hugely influential here as well.
Yes, and well, mainly because I grew up in the area, and that's kind of what I was given access to when I grew up. So that's what my passions are. But all over the Southwest is completely interesting.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's an amazing story.
All right, J.R. Calamy, I'm going to ask you to do a famous thing here. What's that phone number if they want to call us here? Ooh, can you handle this?
Let's see. That number.
Here.
That number. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Take a break.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The Tom Russell song, Tonight We Ride, begins with Pancho Villa's famous ride into Columbus, New Mexico. Our ride isn't quite so famous, but it's a whole lot more fun. This weekend, the Harley Owners Group, better known as the Hogs, will meet at I-10 and Loop 375, then travel down Route 9 all the way to Columbus, New Mexico. For those who want to, and have their passports, they can park their bikes on the American side and cross over to Palomas, Mexico, and feast on truly authentic Mexican food. When you're in Palomas, not only will you feel cooler because you're at an elevation of 4,100 feet, you'll be cooler because you're riding a Harley. Heading back home through the pecan orchards, you can marvel at the fact that the Plain Jane pecans are the number one commercial food crop in the state. As always, the adventure begins at Barnett Harley-Davidson. Or when you click on BarnettHarley.com, because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
If you're over 50, listen carefully. Do you have trouble remembering names, where you put your keys, or where you parked your car? Even simple facts that you should remember but just can't? By age 50, the average person has lost half of their short-term memory, and it only gets worse. Don't ignore the warning signs of age-related memory loss. Call now to receive a free 30-day supply of Cibria, the best-selling non-prescription memory formula supported by 20 years of memory research. A scientific study shows that Cibria can boost your memory within just 30 days. Just call 1-800-990-7765 to get started.
I saw myself go from forgetting people's names, forgetting phone numbers, forgetting you name it, I don't know, to having it all at my fingertips.
Get your free bottle of Cibria, 1-800-990-7765, or order online at freememoryoffer.com. One free month per household. Don't wait. Call 1-800-990-7765 or go to freememoryoffer.com.
We all used to like Pandora before they started interrupting the music over and over. We thought maybe we can do it better than Pandora with our iHeartRadio app. And now we have. Open iHeartRadio, type in an artist you love, and let iHeartRadio build you a station with all that artist's best music and songs we've handpicked to make you a perfect station. And with iHeartRadio, you get more music, fewer interruptions, and it's free. Try it today. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free. iHeartRadio.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're talking about mountains out there in northeast El Paso. Let's celebrate all of them. And the way to do that is go to Celebration of Our Mountains on the internet. Just Google that and you'll find it. But they've got stuff going on all over the place. They're touring the solar facility on Montana, the power station, next Saturday. Tomorrow they're in Thunder Canyon, guided hike. Do you know where Thunder Canyon is, JR?
No, I don't.
Just listen up and you'll hear it at night.
All right.
At night it goes off. No, but it's actually on the west side, and you can get a hold of these people. And FronteraLandAlliance.org for that. And there's a lot of things going on for Celebration of Our Mountain. It's a wonderful thing to do. What do you got?
Okay, there's something else going on. It's the 14th Annual Sunset Heights Tour of Homes, and that's at noon to 4 p.m. on Saturday, October the 14th. And there's eight locations are part of this year's tour of beautiful historic homes and landmarks in the historic Sunset Heights neighborhood. And let me give you a list of these eight homes. One is the Powell home, the Blough home.
How do you spell that? B-L-O-U-G-H?
B-L-O-U-G-H.
Blough.
The Blough home.
Blough. Go there.
Blough. And the Kohlberg, Burgess House, De Leon home, Medrano home, McGregor home, and the Hal Marcus Gallery.
Hal Marcus Gallery.
Hal Marcus Gallery.
Can't miss that.
And for those people who don't want to walk all the time, there are pedicabs available for the tour. There's three pedicabs courtesy of Mesilla Pedicabs and Cesar Martinez. There's also rental bikes, which will also be available courtesy of the El Paso Bike Sharing Program.
Can you just ride those downhill and
yeah,
dump them off?
Yeah, leave them there. It's time to go up.
Next guy, take it back up.
And so if you need more information, you need to contact Hal Marcus Gallery, 915-533-9090, or the Sunset Heights Neighborhood Improvement Association. You can find that online, Sunset Heights, capital N, capital I, capital A, at yahoo.com.
Oh, just look it up on Google.
Yeah, look it up.
But that's an interesting thing to go do. All right, Jeff Romney's here for a few more minutes. Next hour, we're going to talk to the El Paso Archaeological Society.
All right.
And they got some bizarre history intermixed with this museum. They've actually co-located with you guys.
Yes, so they have their collections, and also they meet in our lab room next, right there at the side of the museum. They meet every Wednesday morning. And they help us out greatly, actually, with volunteers for events and other things. So,
what is your address at this location?
4301 Trans Mountain Road.
There's only two museums on this street.
We're the only two buildings out there after you head towards the mountain, after you exit 54.
So you're 54 and Trans Mountain Road, and you head toward the mountain.
Yes.
As they say, you can't miss it.
You can't miss this.
You really can't miss this one. But that's a great museum out there. And the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, like I say, it's a gem in the desert, as you mentioned. But it's an unusual place. Go take a look at it. I had some visitors in town, but the only day we could go was Monday. And you guys aren't open on Monday, but you're open the rest of the week.
Yeah, we are. We're open Tuesday through Sunday, Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 5, and Sundays, 12 to 5. And we're closed Monday and federal holidays.
And you do take phone calls.
Absolutely. 915-755-4332.
And that's a great place. Go out there and take a look at it. You've got the collections. Are you occasionally pulling stuff out of the boxes and putting them on display and putting something else in? You moving them around?
We are. We have a big exhibition schedule planned all the way through 2019, and much of those exhibits will focus on our permanent collections.
A lot of pottery.
We have a lot of pottery, but we also have baskets. We have a lot of lithics, meaning arrowheads. We have a lot of stonework and a bunch of other items. We have beautiful beadwork from the plains as well.
Folsom points. You got some of those?
We do not.
Would you like some?
I would love some.
I'd like some, too.
Oh, you would, too.
And the Clovis. You might throw a sandia in there, too.
You don't have any of those either?
I don't think we do.
Okay, so if somebody has those in their, in their collection,
look.
I mean, these are time frame rocks, basically, from human history. Mm-hmm. So interesting stuff. El Paso Museum of Archaeology. And it's worth it to go out there just to take a look because the cost is?
Zero.
Oh, that's even better.
It's free.
All museums in El Paso are free at this point.
Yes.
There used to be a charge occasionally, and they didn't work for a while, and it came back and didn't work. But now it's all taxpayer supported.
Almost. The taxpayer support helps fund our salaries and our physical plant operations and such.
Well, you go for grants, too.
When it comes to exhibitions and educational programs, we do raise a lot of money through store sales, memberships, grants, and sponsorships.
And if somebody does have a shoebox from Uncle Henry that he passed away and left you the shoebox, and you open it up and it has a Folsom point in it, call Jeff Romney. What's that number again?
915-755-4332.
And if he doesn't want to call J.R. Call
me. Yeah, if he doesn't answer the phone, call me.
You'd like to have
one. I'd like one, sure.
But your history back with E-Pass, you know what this all means.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk to those guys next hour. Jeff Romney, thank you for coming in here. Do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
And good luck with Archaeology Month of Texas at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology.
Thank you.
See you out there, everybody. I'll see you after the news, J.R.
Take care. Thank you.
You're sticking around?
I am.
Okay.
I am. Thank you, Jeff.
Take care,
thank
guys.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.